This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Sisters, brother, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله أهلا وسهلا. Welcome to the Sunday class, our topic which we every week we discuss about the fragile vessels. The rights and obligations between spouses in Islam. Alhamdulillah, unfortunately today the Sheikh is not around, so I have to sit in. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me in fulfilling this amanah. So inshallah I will try to fulfill and deliver to the best of the ability that I can inshallah. Alhamdulillah, welcome to Al Khadim, brother. This is your first time here? Huh? No, okay. You used to come to the Sunday class? Sunday class, huh? Okay, welcome to Al Khadim. Welcome, sister. So, Alhamdulillah, today, you know, the topic we're going to discuss is the fragile vessels from the book by Sheikh Muhammad bin Mustafa Al-Jibali. So this is a series of Muslim family book. So this is the third series. And then this is the part where we discuss about the rights and obligations between spouses in Islam, between the husband and wife. So Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us gather here, Alhamdulillah, in a gathering, which is the best gathering we can find in earth, where Alhamdulillah, when we see that we are engaging in seeking knowledge, in listening to good, in listening to increasing our knowledge, in going to places where the angels are pleased with us, the angels make dua for us. So this is the sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted good food, good for us, Alhamdulillah. Where the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayra yufaqqihu fid din." Whoever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him goodness, to be good, to be better, then Allah will yufaqqihu fid din, make him understand the religion, make him learn about the religion. So alhamdulillah, one of the routes, one of the ways that we can enter Jannah is the road of seeking knowledge, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi 'ilman sahhalallahu lahu bihi tariqan ila al-jannah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever treads a path where the path that he went to is seeking knowledge, the path of seeking knowledge, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his path to Jannah easy." So alhamdulillah, a lot of benefits, a lot of things that we can benefit from learning. It is not the same, those who know and those who don't know. Hal yastawi, Allah question in the Quran, hal yastawi alladhina ya'lamuna walladhina la ya'lamun. Is it the same? There's those who know and those who don't know. Of course, this is not the same. We will never be the same. So alhamdulillah, those who are knowledgeable, those who Allah grant them the ability to come, to seek knowledge, to learn, these are the people that Allah chose, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise their ranks. As the ayat goes in Surah Al-Mujadilah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. I just skip to that part. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise the ranks for those who are believers. Those who believing are the believers will raise their ranks, a few ranks from others, and also those who are granted knowledge. So alhamdulillah, knowledge is the thing that will make you mulia, karam. Mulia in English is, anyone can help me, mulia, make you honorable, make you honor, you have honor, dignity. So you know which is good, which is bad, which is haram, which is halal, which is good, which time that you want to engage in doing good deeds, putting your effort in doing good deeds. As you know, in Islam, there are not all, but most of it. Most of the ibadah, most of the worship, act of goodness are tied to time, tied to the timing of the universe. For example, Ramadan. Ramadan, you can only fast during Ramadan. For example, Salat, every day that we do, the ayat goes, إِنَّ صَلَاتَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. And the salah upon the believers are set in specific timings. So you have to salat, you have to perform your fajr prayer, your subuh prayer, only at a certain time, maybe around 6 and 7, around 6, 7, 1 hour. So you have to perform that. If you don't act upon, if you don't perform your salah in that frame time, so your salat will not be accepted, unless you have a specific reasoning that you abandon the salah. Maybe you overslept or etc. etc. So if you overslept, you inshallah you have to. The first thing that you do, you don't go take breakfast. You go and perform your salah first. Alhamdulillah. So the salah every day, Allah teaches us to be disciplined. Look at the timings, Zuhur during the lunch hour time, and Asar during the evening, before night, and then when the dawn during the Maghrib time, and then Aisha. So these are specific times that we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And brothers and sisters, know that now we are in one of the days, on a day, and in the days where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these days. These are the greatest days in the year. Every year there are times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favor upon others. Allah favored the nights of Ramadan, the 10 last 10 nights of Ramadan. Allah favored the last 10 nights of Ramadan, for us to worship. So the bonuses in worshiping Allah in those times are more. And then we are now, alhamdulillah, in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Alhamdulillah, this is the month where the Prophet ﷺ said, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are the days where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the slaves, they are his slaves, her love for his slaves, to engage in good deeds, to engage in righteous deeds, in salah, in performing prayers in congregation, in making dua, in fasting if you are able to, in making a lot of dhikr, making a lot of takbir, making a lot of alhamdulillah, tahmid, making a lot of dhikr, making all of the good deeds in this frame time, this 10 days, it is more rewarding. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, this is the seasons of worship. As we see in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it so special because of the revelation of Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in the month of Ramadan is revealed the Quran. The Quran was revealed in the month of Quran. Hence, the month of Ramadan becomes one of the greatest months in the calendar. So alhamdulillah. And the last 10 nights of Ramadan, Allah picked one day that He doesn't tell us when. Where there's one night, it is a special night, that it is better than the 100, better than 1,000 month. Al-Fishah, 1,000 month. It is better than 1,000 month of worship, which is the Laylatul Qadr. Alhamdulillah. So we have passed the month of Ramadan. So now it is our opportunity to seize the opportunity in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the final pillar of Islam, which is Al-Hajj, obligatory upon all Muslims who are able to go. So this is one of the greatest worship. Why Al-Hajj is the one of the greatest worship? Because in Hajj, it comprises all types of worship. You have the salah, prayer. You have the umrah. You have the tawaf. You have sa'i. You have fasting. You have recitation of Quran. You have a lot of things there. It is gathered in one worship, one kind of specific timing of worship, which is Al-Hajj. Alhamdulillah. And what make this days so special? Because one of the days of Dhul-Hijjah, there is one day which is it is called the day of Arafah, where the pilgrimage will gather in the fields of Arafah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua, beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking for His forgiveness, asking for everything, whatever that He wants. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the day where all humans who are performing Hajj, those who perform Hajj, who doesn't go to this place, and on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, so his Hajj will not be accepted. Al-Hajju Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. The gathering of human, millions of human, in one place, in one field of Arafah. This is one of the most greatest day in the world, which is a day of Arafah. And then what shall we do, those who don't go to Hajj? What we are supposed to do? We cannot go to Hajj. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this one opportunity, which is the fasting of day of Arafah. The fasting of Arafah, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ahtasibu 'ala Allahi ayukaffira sanata qablaha wa ma ba'daha." Aw kama qal. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the fasting of day of Arafah, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expiate the sins that comes the year before of that day, before that day, and then the after of the day of Arafah. So 2 years of sins will be forgiven if you are sincere, if you fast for the sake of Allah on this day, which is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is the day of Arafah. Alhamdulillah. And one of the greatest things why Arafah is so favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the stature, the place, the level of Arafah is really, really high, because this is the day where Allah completed His religion. This is the day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'amati wa raditu lakum al-islam dina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-yawm, this day, yani the day of Arafah, which is the first and the last Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he gathers all the companions. So he said, this ayah was revealed, this day, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, I, ya Allah, yani Allah, have completed your deen for you, your way of life for you. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and Allah said, I have perfected my favor upon you. Wa raditu lakumul islam madina, and I am pleased that Islam as your religion for all of you humankind. So alhamdulillah, let us seize this opportunity. This I think now we are in the sixth day of Dhul-Hijjah. So there are few more days where inshallah on the 10th day we will celebrate the Eid of Eidul Adha. And also that is also one of the greatest days where you can see all the Muslims engaging in the sacrifice, in the act of sacrifice. Alhamdulillah. So here Al-Khadim also, we are organizing the sacrifice. We'll be in front there on the 10th, maybe on Thursday, on Thursday, inshallah, this coming Thursday. So inshallah, who wants to witness the sacrifice, the process of sacrifice, and all the works that will be performed, inshallah, it is here. I'm not sure what timing is it. You can check on our social media. So all are welcome to support, alhamdulillah. So I assume that some of you already bought your sacrifice. So because sacrifice, this act of sacrifice in the day, we have 4 days to sacrifice on the day of Eid, the 10th of Zulhijjah, and also the 3 days following days, the 11th, 12th, and the 13th. So these 4 days you can engage in slaughtering the animal for the sake of Allah. You slaughter this, you purchase an animal, and then you sacrifice it for the sake of Allah, and then you can eat all of them, no problem, if you want to eat them. Or you can eat some and then distribute to the poor and needy who needs them most. So this is the time. These 4 days where the most beloved act of worship in these 4 days are sacrificing your animal. Alhamdulillah. So alhamdulillah. So let us go into our chapter now today. Alhamdulillah, our book. I believe that the Sheikh already went through, if I'm not mistaken, until this is on the bab of the Ummahatul Mu'minin, of the mothers of the believers. Mothers of the believers, which are the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have reached Juwayriyah. Juwayriyah bint Al-Harith. So, interesting story about Juwayriyah. Okay, if you mention about Juwayriyah, the history of Juwayriyah, how the Prophet ﷺ married her, you have to mention also about the Ghazwatul Banu Mustalik, the expedition of Bani Mustalik, where it is called, also known as the Ghazwa of Al-Muraisi'. Al-Muraisi' is one place in the area of Banu Mustalik. Banu Mustalik lives in between Makkah and Madinah. Banu Mustalik is a tribe that lives between Makkah and Madinah. So they are the allies of the Quraysh. So during the war of Uhud, previously in Uhud, the second, on the third of Hijrah. So they supported the army of the Quraysh. So they live there. Al-Muraisi is the place where they take water. So this is the place where the source of water is there in Al Muraisi. That's why it is called the expedition, the Battle of Muraisi, due to the name of that place. Alhamdulillah. Okay, let us read from the book first, and then we can add more, inshallah, after. Juwayriyah bint Al Harith. So this is the let me count, because some books they count it differently. The first one is who? Khadija. Khadija. The second is Saudah. Saudah bintu Zam'ah. The third one is Aisha radiallahu anha. Okay. And then the fourth one? Habibah kan? I don't know. The book is a bit different. Saudah, Aisha. Follow the book lah. And then Zainab binti Khuzaimah. Zainab. Zainu. And then Salamah. Zainab binti Khuzaimah. There's two Zainab. The first one is Zainab binti Khuzaimah. And then Salamah, or it is known as, the real name is Hind. Hind binti Abi Umayyah. And then after Salamah is Hafsah, the daughter of Omar. And after Hafsah, Zainab again. But this one is Zainab binti Jahash. And then now we are on Juwayriyah. So Juwayriyah, after Juwayriyah, Jafnaha Ramzan Sahihan Muhadzaba. So now the three left. Jafnaha Ramlah Umu Habiba Ramlah Ramzan Sahihan Safiya and Muhadzaba is Maimuna, and I think this book they include as well as Maria Al-Qibtiyah. No problem, we can just go through all, inshallah. So now we are at Juwayriyah bint Harith. Let us read from the book. Juwayriyah radiallahu anha was the daughter of Al-Harith bin Abi Dirar. Her name was Barrah, but the Prophet SAW changed it to Juwayriyah. This is recorded by Imam Muslim and others from Ibn Abbas. She was from the tribe of Al-Mustaliq, and was taken as a war captive during the Battle of Al-Muraisi' in the 5th Hijrah. When the Prophet ﷺ married her, she was 20 years old and she died approximately 50 years later, maybe around 70 plus. So she was the most beautiful woman, as attested by her co-wife Aisha radiallahu anha. So this is the hadith narrated by Aisha. When Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam divided the war captives of tribe of Banu Mustaliq, Juwayriyah bint Al-Harith was given to Thabit ibn Qais, ibn Ash-Shammas, or a cousin of his. Okay, she was given. Okay, let us stop here. So what happened was, let us go to the war first, the battle first. So what happened? During the 5th of Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ knew, heard that there's some story, some kabar angin apa? Kabar angin? Some story, not story. Some rumors that Banu Mustaliq is attempting an attack to the Muslim. And then to confirm this, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent one companion which is called Buraidah. Buraidah is one of the companions which is from the Bedouin. So he is known as a Bedouin, so he doesn't have like a... So the Quraysh doesn't really know him, which is his ally, either whether he is with the Muslims or with the Quraysh. So the Prophet ﷺ sent him to ask Al-Harith, so ask them. So when he arrived when Buraidah arrived in Al-Muraisi' in Banu Mustaliq, so he asked, so are you attempting to fight the Muslims? So we say yes. So it is confirmed. So they say we are planning for an attack upon the Muslims. So let us attack them without they knowing. And then after that, so okay, Buraida came back and confirmed with the Prophet that they are going to form an army to attack the Muslims in Medina. So this is the strategy. So the Prophet ﷺ say, so let us gather an army to preemptive attack. Do a preemptive attack. Before they want to start, we attack them first. So alhamdulillah, that's why this battle began. So the Prophet went with the companions. So it is a very, very short battle. Around 10 of the Banu Mustalik was killed. One of it was the husband of Juwayriyah. Was the husband of Juwayriyah. So most of those Banu Mustalik, okay, when war happened, when the party which loses, the party will be captured and become slaves. They will become slaves. Okay, they have no rights anymore. So their things, their property will be taken by those who won the war. So and then, of course, they have to give 1/5 to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They have to give 1/5 to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then the rest they will have to give among each other. Among each other, alhamdulillah. And then one of the companion, which is called, is now we read Thabit ibn Qais al-Shammas, Juwayriyah was given to him. Juwayriyah was given to him, alhamdulillah. So what happened was, okay, let us continue. So that is the backstory, okay? So now you know where we have reached. So it is during the time of the division of the spoil of war. So she made a contact with him, yani Juwayriyah tell Thabit ibn Qais, she made a contract. You know, if you are a slave, you can make a contract with your master. Okay, you say, I wanna tebus diri, I wanna free myself with you. So if we make a contract, I pay you a certain amount, so you give me my freedom. This is the deal among you and the master. Okay, so she made a contract with him to free herself for money. And then she was the most beautiful, was a beautiful woman. No one seeing her, but being baffled by her beauty. So she came to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeking his help in paying herself off. So instead, because now she has no possession, so she has to go to the Prophet. So because she heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is merciful, etc., etc., she can the only one that can help her. So she went to the Prophet. By Allah, when I saw her at my door, this is Aisha is narrating, the wife of the Prophet, one of the wives of the Prophet, I hated her. I hated her for her beauty. And knew that Allah's Messenger will find in her what I have found of beauty. She came in and said, oh Allah's Messenger, I am Juwayriyah bintul Harith bin Abi Dirar, the chief of his people. Yani Harith bin Abi Dirar is the chieftain of Banu Mustalik. And I have been touched by affliction, as you are well aware. I have been allotted to Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas, or a cousin of his. I have made a contract with him to pay off myself, to free myself off, and came seeking your help in that. So, what the Prophet ﷺ said, فَهَلْ لَكِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Do you want, would you like to consider a better deal? A better deal. So, the Prophet ﷺ is offering a better deal when she wants to free herself. And then she asked, what is it, O Messenger of Allah? He said, أَقْضِ عَنْكِ كِتَابَتَكِ وَأَتَزَوَّجُكِ. I pay that off for you and marry you. So the Prophet ﷺ is proposing to her. Your freedom is, how do you pay your freedom? Is by I marrying you. So the Prophet said, I marry you. Okay? So alhamdulillah, she replied in positive manner. She said, certainly, O Allah's Messenger. And he said, فَقَدْ فَعَلْتُ. It is done. So Yeah, they are married, alhamdulillah. So when the news came out and Allah's Messenger had married Juwayriyah, and the Muslims freed their captives. So when they heard, one of the wives of the Prophet, our mother, is Juwayriyah from Banu Mustalik. So all these captives that we have captured from Banu Mustalik now is our brothers, the relatives of our Prophet. So who had become, I continue, the Prophet's brethren-in-law. Again, brethren-in-law, family-in-laws. Thus, 100 households from Al-Mustalik were freed. And I do not know any woman who brought more blessings to her people than Juwayriyah. MashaAllah. Okay, so this marriage made all the captives Muslims and they are free to go. Oh, SubhanAllah, what a blessing. What a great move that Prophet did. So now, this is not the only time that the Prophet ﷺ married the daughter of his enemy. This is one, Juwayriyah. And the second one, we can, inshallah, next week, we will learn about Ramlah, which is Habiba. Habiba is the daughter of one of the great chief of Quraysh, which is Abu Sufyan. He is one of the leaders of Quraysh, which have a lot of animosity towards the Muslim. Abu Sufyan, came into Islam at the end, but very, very late during the time where the conquest of Mecca, when the Prophet ﷺ came to Mecca to take over Mecca after eight years. Okay, so that is so the Prophet ﷺ married Habiba. And the third one, the Prophet ﷺ also married a Jewess, which is called As-Safiyyah. Safiyyah bintu Huyay. So Al-Huyay is one of the chieftain of Banu Nadir. Banu Nadir is one of the Jews living in the in Medina. So they in the early days in Medina, they have treaty with the Prophet, so they break this treaty. So the Prophet ﷺ had to seize them. So one of the why the Prophet ﷺ, this is one of the strategies of the Prophet ﷺ, that when you marry your enemies, one of the chieftains and daughter, so it makes the animosity lesser, because now you are family, so make it lesser so that it is easier to make da'wah, to call them to Islam. Alhamdulillah, this is one of the all of the marriages are inspired by Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. It is not from the desire of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is Juwayriyah. Let us see what we can learn about Juwayriyah a bit more. This book is a bit short. Let us see what we can learn from her. Okay. So, any questions so far now? Everything is okay? Okay. Okay. Juwayriyah, she is the one, she doesn't really narrate a lot of hadith. But some of the hadith are very popular. She narrated the hadith where some of the adhkar, some of the remembrance of Allah in the morning, narrated by Juwayriyah. Let us read the hadith. That one of the days, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam went up from Juwayriyah, Juwayriyah's place, and then he sees her offering the prayer in the state of after prayer. So she is on her musalla, on her place of prayer, and she's sitting. And this is in the morning, after Fajr, in the morning. Okay. So when the Prophet ﷺ see, so he left. He left for a few moments, maybe 1 hour plus, and then when he came back, she is still there, doing the adhkar, doing the adhkar is remembrance, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, have you been continuously offering this adhkar? So she said, yes. And then he said, since leaving you, I have said 4 phrases 3 times, which is, if weighted against all that you have said, since the one that you a few hours that you're sitting there in your musalla, in your place of worship, and it is heavier than whatever you have said. So what are the words that the Prophet ﷺ taught her? Glory be to Allah. Subhanallah. And then, adada khalqi. This is a very famous tasbih. Subhanallahi adada khalqi. Subhanallahi rida wa rida nafsi. Subhanallahi wa zinata arshi. Subhanallahi wa midada kalimati. What does it mean? Glory be to Allah. I begin his praise of him to the number of his creatures. Subhanallah, in glory be to Allah in accordance for his good pleasure. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah to the weight of his throne. Zinata arshi. And then the last one, subhanallah, glory be to Allah to the ink and extent of his words, of his knowledge. So this is this adhkar, it is narrated until that. So the practice of Muslims have been practicing this zikir until now, alhamdulillah. So initially her name was is called Barrah. What does Barrah means? The Prophet ﷺ have this habit of changing somebody's name due to maybe one of the reason is it is bad. The meaning is not correct. For example, harb or war. So he changed it to something better. So for example, Abdul Uzza, the worshipper of Uzza. So this is thing that is not good. The name, the meaning is not good. So he changed to Abdullah. So etc. etc. The Prophet ﷺ has this habit of changing his name. And also one of the reasons is if this name that somebody has is something that is giving tazkiyah to themselves, self praise. For example, Barrah means always good, always in piety, always in taqwa. Okay, always. And so the Prophet has said this is a form of a tazkiyah. From that you're saying you are better than others. So the Prophet so your name is Juwairiyah. Juwairiyah, what does Juwairiyah means? Juwairiyah comes from the word Jariyah. Jariyah means a little girl, Jariyah. So when you make, this is one technique in Arabic where you change the form to become smaller, even smaller. For example, this is in Arabic it's called Kitab. Kitab. So if you want to say a small book, you say Kutayb. Kutaybin. Kutayb. A small book. Same goes to other things. If you say it in that kind of form, it becomes small. For example, Juwairiyah, Jariyah. So if you say Juwairiyah, it is a small girl. Something like that. Small girl. Even smaller. For example, mother. So when you want to say a small mother, you can say Umaymah. So that form makes the meaning small, make it something is make it small. Okay, I hope you understand. Who learn Arabic, we know it is called tasghir. Tasghir means making something in the form of small. When you want to say something small, a small book, we say kutayb. Okay, kitab, kutayb. Okay, alhamdulillah. So one of the and another hadith, it is narrated due to her is the fasting of Friday, the fasting of in the day of Friday. As we know, we cannot fast on the day of Friday on its own because the day Friday is like a celebration for the Muslims. You see, every Friday we have a Salatul Jumu'ah. So every Muslims gathered in the mosque and listening to the khutbah and perform 2 rakats of prayer. So this happens every Friday. And then when the Prophet ﷺ see her, oh, you're fasting today. Did you fast yesterday? The Prophet asked her. So she said, no, I didn't. Or are you planning to fast tomorrow on Saturday? And she, also she said, no. So we say, so now break your fast, iftiri, aftiri. Break your fast today. So she immediately broke her fast. This is from Sahih al-Bukhari. It is authentic. So we know that we cannot single out fasting only on the day of Jumu'ah. Okay? So you can fast any other days. The best days to fast is following the Prophet ﷺ. If you can, every week you can fast 2 days. On Mondays and on Thursday. Monday and Thursday. So Monday and Thursday is one of the sunnah. If you say it is too hard for you to fast weekly, you can fast 3 days a month. 3 days a month, which are the days of the white days, where the moon is shining bright, the full moon. So it is 13, 14, and 15 for each month, except for the month of Zulhijjah. Because the month of Zulhijjah, 11, 12, 13, sorry, 13, 14, 15, did I say 13, 14, 15, right? Yeah, 13, 14, 15 is okay. So the month of Zulhijjah have, that I mentioned before, 10, 11, 12, 13, right? So these days you cannot fast. These days you cannot fast. But the other days, 11, 12, 13, sorry, 13, 14, 15, for every month, other months, you can fast. It is called the fast of the white days. And also, if you can do more than that, you can fast alternate days, which is called the fasting of David. The fasting of David. Alhamdulillah. So, Alhamdulillah, this is a very short story of her. And she passed away when she was age 65. So she went through a lot of khalifa. So she went through the caliphate of Abu Bakr and also Umar and then also Uthman. And then she passed away during the time of Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Okay, so all the four caliphs, she went through, alhamdulillah. Okay, so it's a very short story. I don't want to continue with the other wife of the Prophet, because I will let the Sheikh. I don't think the Sheikh will come back soon. She is in Hajj. He is in Hajj, leading the people to perform the Hajj. So maybe in a few weeks more, you will see my face, or maybe other ustaz. Maybe Ustaz Adli. Okay? So any questions, any additions? Yeah. Oh, brother.
Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi
wabarakatuh. As you know, I'm a new Muslim, I was born Muslim, so I'm really learning.
Alhamdulillah.
So one of the things that you mentioned is that this marriage of Prophet Muhammad to the first wife was the will of Allah and not his desire. So as I am learning, the question would be, what is the proof or any story behind it that you as Muslims say that it was the will of Allah and not his own personal desires? And my second question is, if I can just continue, I read a story that Ali, the cousin of Prophet Muhammad, who was married to the daughter of Prophet Muhammad,
correct,
was asked to marry a lady from a group, from another tribe that was an enemy.
Yeah, also the name Fatima. Yeah.
And Fatima was the daughter, who was not happy about it. It was sad because Ali was supposed to marry another woman, the second wife. Mm. Prophet Muhammad came in and said no, because that is the enemy. But earlier you mentioned that one of the things that he was doing was marrying someone from the tribe of the enemy. So, and as I am learning, it contradicts what I have heard. So I hope you can explain that to me.
Okay. If I cannot explain, I will ask this to the Sheikh. But Alhamdulillah. Thank you for the questions. Alhamdulillah. A very good question. The first question was about the will of Allah
and not a personal desire of Prophet Muhammad.
Okay. Yes. For the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there are most of the things that related to the religion that he will not do as he wills, because Allah says in the Quran, "Wama yantiqu anil hawa in huwa illa wahyun yuha." The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would not say something out of his desire, out of his like, "Oh, I want to take all this because of him." No, because he is the Prophet. So Allah said, "In huwa illa wahyun yuha." It is everything that he speaks of is the wahyu from Allah, is the guidance from Allah. So most of the things that he does is from the guidance of Allah, most of the time. Maybe all of the things. There are things that you can see some of the companions when Prophet ﷺ said something out of his opinion. So for example, on the battle of Ahzab, this one battle, this is a very great battle on the war of Ahzab, where they are facing all these, the Arabs, they gather together to wipe out Islam once and for all. So one of the companions give suggestion to the Prophet to dig trenches around Medina's entrance. So this before this, the Prophet didn't see anything. So when the war strategy is like we just defend in Medina. And then Salman say, the companion name is Salman Al-Farisi, so he takes the strategy from the Persian. So he asks, is this the wahyu, the revelation? I say no. So okay, so let us do this. Let us make a trench. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accept. So there are some instances that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam use his opinion. But most of the time, it is guided by Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Especially marriages. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam marry certain women because of inspiration. And also, of course, the Prophet is all guided. But different from us. It is different from us. We marry because of our feelings, of course. Depends on an individual. We are attracted with maybe their looks, maybe their character. So it is differs. But of course, you have to ask Allah's guidance as well. That's why we do Salatul Istikhara. We ask Allah, "Oh Allah, I want to marry this guy. I want to marry this girl. But is he the one for me? So that's why you do the 2 raka'ats to seek Allah's counsel. "Oh Allah, if this is good for me and for my life, for my affairs, so make this easy for me, right? And if it's not, make it away from me and make me pleased with it." So this is one of the things that the difference from us and the Prophet. There are a lot of things that is specific for the Prophet, not for us. For example, the Prophet can marry more than 4. The Prophet can marry more than 4. And we, as normal men, I can only marry maximum 4 at one time. So does that answer your question? Okay. And then the second question is the Fatima. So because at that time they are in war, and then because they have the same name, Fatima of Ali, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is Fatima bintu Muhammad, and the daughter of Abu Jahal is also Fatima as well. So the Prophet said it is not befitting that two Fatimas is in one marriage. Wallahu alam, I have to check back this type, because the Prophet don't allow that. One of the reasons is they are still fighting very intense animosity between them. This because of course Ali is not a prophet, right? Ali is not a prophet, so the Prophet, with the guidance of Allah, he said this cannot be. The ayat is the Prophet said it is not befitting for the daughter of the Prophet is together with the daughter of the enemy of Islam. So that is one of the reasons. Because if, for example, difference from the Prophet, he is the chief. He is the like a president. So when he does things, it is different from your non-president, not leaders who does the same thing. It's not the impact is maybe is not the same. Wallahu alam. So if you're not if you want more clarification, inshallah I will ask the Sheikh about this matter. Okay? Inshallah, jazakumullah khairan. Any follow-up questions about that? Is it okay, the first question? I mean, sister? What about the first question? Do you understand the first question, the answer that I gave?
The first question.
Did I say correctly? Did I go to the same place? Correct place?
Well, of course, I respect your explanation, but it's still very unclear.
Very unclear
to me. Yeah, because of generally, if you look at it, it's a very young woman and a very beautiful woman. So for me, learning about this is really understanding what happened. So that's what I want to understand. Is it really Allah's will, and how do we recognize that it is Allah's will or a desire?
I think I got the question correct. So that is my answer lah. And the answer is yes, it is not out of desire lah. Most of the things that is not from the Prophet's desire. Okay, because you can see. If it were for desire of the Prophet, he would marry all the young girls, because you can see this lady, she was married before, okay, so of course if you capture a whole society, a whole village, you can pick and choose. But this is not he doesn't like, okay, look for me the nice ones or no. She came to her, and then knowing that she is the daughter of the chief, so he married her. So wallahu alam, if you want no more detail, you can inshallah keep that question. Inshallah I will ask the Sheikh inshallah. Okay, jazakumullah khairan. Any other questions, any other related to the of course the topic? No, you understand, so I can ask you questions. Quiz? No quiz? Okay, alhamdulillah. So just want to give everybody the brief background. So there are a lot of wars that happened between the Quraysh and the Muslims. So one of the if you see there, this is the fifth of hijrah. So going back reverse to the first when the Prophet ﷺ migrate from Makkah to Madinah. So on the second year, it is the Battle of Badr. So Battle of Badr, it is not a planned battle, right? It's not a planned battle. The Muslims wants to intercept the caravan of Abu Sufyan when they come back to Makkah, so they want to intercept. So what happened was, when Abu Sufyan knew, so they sent delegation to the Mecca, to the Meccans, to ask for more backup. Come, let us have a war with the Muslims. So that is the first thing that happened between the first big thing big war between the Muslims and the Quraysh. So what happened? The Muslim won. And the Muslim won in the battle of Badr, alhamdulillah. So after that, the third of Hijrah, there's a battle of Uhud, where the Mushrikun, they are not pleased what happened, because a lot of the chieftains passed away, was killed during the battle of Badr. So there is where Uhud, where they march towards the mouth of Uhud. So they encounter the Muslims there. So as you know the story, the Muslim lost because of the one command of the Prophet commanded the archers to stay at one hill, don't move. Even though you see we are winning, don't move your position until everything is ended. So they didn't listen to the Prophet. And then because they saw at first the Muslims are winning, so they see a lot of the Quraysh were killed, so they feel excited, so they come down from their position, and that is where Khalid bin al-Walid, he overtook that place and then attacked from behind. So this is one of the loss of the Muslims against the Quraysh. So after this this battle, this comes the one of the greatest battle, which is the Al-Muraisi, Battle of Muraisi. This is what we call, or what we call Banu Mustalik, because Banu Mustalik, they assisted the Quraysh during the Battle of Uhud. Okay. And this battle also, even though it's short, but during the journey, there are two things that happen, two significant events that happen. One is, we have already went through the story of Ifk, if you remember, the story of slander of Aisha, where everybody slander Aisha of acts of fahisha. Acts of fahisha. What? How do you translate fahisha? Okay, he's doing things that he's not supposed to do with another guy. When we know the story. You can read at the here. This is very which part and page number. Actually, we discussed this for the whole class. The great slander, page number 104. Okay, you can read that. It's called hadathatul ifk. Okay, and then also there's another thing that happened is between the Ansar and the Muhajirin, where there are some misunderstandings happen. The Ansar, one of the Ansar was somehow hit by the Muhajirin, something to hit at the back, so they become like, no, they something that is sparked some animosity. They feel angered. So what they do, the Ansar said, Ya Lan Ansar. He called all the he called all his people. Oh, people of Ansar, come. And then also the Muhajirin say, Ya Lal Muhajirin. So Muhajirin also come. So they're like going to fight between different tribes, right? Different tribes. So when the Prophet Sallallahu heard this, what is this calling of Jahiliyah? This is like that you are before. It didn't Allah Subhanahu wa Taala have make you brothers. This is really really not supposed to happen. Okay. So it was. This is very. It is a very very sad thing to happen to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So. This was what are these proclamations of the days of ignorance? That's the Prophet's answer. And then the companion say, a person from the immigrants, that meaning Muhajirin, struck the back of an Ansari. And whereupon it is said, and then the Prophet say, it is mutahinatun, it is something that is disgusting. You cannot repeat this thing again, this racism. Okay? You cannot repeat this again. And then one of the munafiqun, one of the what do you call munafiqun, the hypocrites. So he is the one who make it more, putting some more oil make it burn more. He said, oh, see. So this later in Medina, the people of Medina will chase out the people of Muhajirun. People of Medina will chase out the people of Makkah. So when Umar heard this, so he said, oh, Prophet, ya Rasulullah, let me kill this guy. This guy's name is Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Remember this name. Okay? So he is the head of Munafiq. He is the head of Munafiq in Medina. So Umar wants to kill him. And then what the Prophet said? No. Leave him. I don't want people to say that the Prophet Muhammad kills his companions. So this is one of the rahmah and the mercy of the Prophet that he doesn't want things that is unclear to be like a sensation, to be viral. This viral. So that is like, let us contain this thing, so that it settle in within. Okay. So alhamdulillah, this is one of the things that happened during this time of Muraisi, battle of Banu Mustaliq. Wallahu alam. If there's no questions, and there's any questions, so I will end here. Any questions there? No? Okay. So jazakumullah khairan for listening. So I hope you gain something from this short reminder, short class. So inshallah, next week we will go into Habibah. I recommend all to get this book. Okay, it is sold in the shop. No, is it? I think they have some stock, so you can check out the shop. If there's none, you can, inshallah, make some order lah if you want. Okay. Jazakumullah khairan. May Allah make us among those people who understand the knowledge, and also may Allah SWT give us the strength to do more good deeds in these 10 days of Zulhijjah, where this is the best days of the year to do good deeds, to engage in good deeds. And may Allah SWT also give us the ability to fast in the day of Arafah, so that Allah SWT will expiate, to demolish our sins, 2 years of sin, which comes before and after the day of Arafah, alhamdulillah. So may Allah SWT give us the understanding. May Allah make it easy. May Allah facilitate all of our affairs in this world. And may Allah SWT make us among the people who will enter Jannah. We ask Allah to gather us like this gathering in Jannatul Firdaus. Amin. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.